two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, I'm a little bummed out about this because Hans and I, you know, we go out, we meet a bunch of people and think, okay, this guy'd be great for the show. Let's get him on. And I've told Hans forever, I'm like, I want you to chat with Stephen Ashworth because he's one of my favorite dudes on the planet. Fun interview, good story, great basketball player. And there's a big game coming up tomorrow. Utah State's playing New Mexico. Huge Mountain West Conference showdown for both of these teams. And so I wanted to get Stephen on to kind of promote the game, but Hans is off this week. So I'm sorry, Stephen, you're just stuck with me again. So I apologize. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Well, it's definitely a missed opportunity for Hans, but we'll still have a great time, no doubt.
That's my thought as well. Huge game coming up tomorrow. You fired up for this one?
Yeah, I'm so psyched for this game. It's going to be a fun atmosphere up in the Spectrum. We got Spectrum Magic Night. The T-shirts, I think, are already getting ready to be laid out on the seats. And you know the Herd's going to be there in full force. And a lot of people in the community have been mentioning how they're excited for the game. And like you mentioned, it's a big game in Mountain West play, and we're really excited to hopefully go out and put our best foot forward and show what we can do.
You've played most teams in the conference already. You have not played New Mexico yet, and you won't. This is on the alternating schedule. You only get them once this year, and you get them at home. But what have you seen from this team early on in film and preparation?
Yeah, I mean, this team is definitely a squad that is much improved from last year. They have a lot of their core back, but they also have some new pieces with two new bigs that are actually their starting big men that add a lot of diversity for them just in the aspect of being able to score from the perimeter and down low. And so a lot of preparation going into that and remembering some of the things that they tried to do last year and the ways that we were able to prepare and guard them. And then as well as different things that will work for us offensively to get the shots that we want, especially with some of the chances they like to take. They really thrive off of transition buckets. I think they're number one in the Mountain West in transition offense, and a lot of that comes from their defense, their steals. Jalen House is really good at finding the ball on defense and getting his hands on it, and so got to make sure we protect the ball and play aggressive on that end, and I think things will go the way we hope to.
So if people aren't aware of this New Mexico program, you got Richard Pitino, who's the son of Rick Pitino. You got Jamal Mashburn, who's the son of Jamal Mashburn, who played in the league forever and played for Rick Pitino at Kentucky. And then you've got House, who's the son of Eddie House, who was a longtime Phoenix Suns, played in the league forever. But you mentioned him. He's got 63 steals on the season, which is a ridiculous number. Do they just let him kind of float around a bit and cherry pick, or how is he getting those steals?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is he's really good at opportunistically finding ways to jump passing lanes or help off of a weak side or strong side defender. And a little bit of it you can see where it kind of backfires on them just with, I would say it's not like an organized type of attack, but at times it works really, really well for them. And as you mentioned, you know, 63 steals is a lot. And even watching some film, I saw a lot of it come from the big man gets the rebound, tries to outlet it to the guard, and he's just sticking around, finding a way to get them extra possessions. And so that'll definitely be a thing that we got to be aware of. And, you know, I don't think it's anything to play tentatively about, but just make sure that you respect it so that when, you know, crunch time comes, it doesn't bite you.
So I'm not expecting you to know this number off the top of your head because I know you're all about the team guy. But last I checked, you were fourth in the country in 3-point shooting percentage. You've had a great job, or you've had a great season so far from beyond the 3-point line. I want to kind of get your background a little bit, and you and I have talked enough about this, but for listeners that don't know your story, Lone Peak grad, when did you start picking up the game, and when did you start feeling like, hey, I'm pretty good at this?
There's glimpses of my love for basketball ever since I was super young, probably around, 2 or 3 years old. My parents said that we actually couldn't even sit in the back of the church building because I would just stare at the basketball hoop and I guess I'd say like Baba hoop the whole church meeting. And so they're like, we always had to sit up front or else you wouldn't stop talking about the basketball hoop. And so I've always loved basketball. It's been something that has, excelled me forward in sports and in life and has been, a great place for me to kind of go to and create new friendships and learn life lessons. And so I really got serious about basketball probably in fifth grade, actually. My friends and some of my teammates, we created this club called the 20,000 Shot Club. And my dad said, I'll get you guys new basketball bags for whoever reaches 20,000 shots over the summer. So we created this little program in an Excel spreadsheet that was called the 20,000 Shot Club that outlined how many different shots you'd have to make each day, whether it was like, we did like 100 three-pointers, 50 free throws, layups, jump shots, all the different shots. And I think it was around, 300 shots a day just over the course of our summer break. And then when school got back, we would have a big kind of back-to-school 20,000 Shot Club party. And I think that was one of the keys to my development as a younger kid. It was a way to get myself into the gym on my own and with my friends. And I definitely see the benefits of that years later in my shooting ability for sure.
I've got to know your parents a little bit on these road games and home games as well. Were they players too? Were they athletes growing up?
They were. My dad played basketball at Clark High School. My mom grew up playing tennis and they loved coming to the games. They were athletes and they love sports. All of my brothers, I have an older brother who really got into mountain biking in high school, and he also played basketball growing up, but then decided to go away from it, and he really helped me develop a love for basketball. And then as well, I have triplet younger brothers who all picked up their own different sports, whether it's golf, football, or soccer. So we're definitely a big sporting family for sure.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
When you're playing at Lone Peak, and I believe you were, you're post Big Three there at Lone Peak High School, the stage is set and there's a big target on your back. Did that kind of help you as a player dealing with pressure situations? Because anytime Lone Peak was playing basketball in that era, I mean, you guys had a big target on your back.
We definitely did. There was a huge legacy left at Lone Peak before I ever stepped foot into the varsity program. A great job done by Quincy Lewis and, as you mentioned, the Big Three of TJ, Nick, and Eric. and it was super fun. There was definitely a lot of pressure on us. I think I felt it the most throughout my junior and senior year, because my freshman and sophomore year, we fell up short in the state championship tournament, and that was definitely a disappointment, especially after my freshman year, we had just come off of a four-peat, thanks to TJ Haas. So filling those shoes was something very difficult. And I think that there's even been times where coming into college basketball, there's been more pressure on some of those high school games I was playing in than some of these college games. And that's just a testament to how big some of those games were and the pressure and the expectations of winning that Lone Peak had and has continued to have. And so I'm definitely grateful for the standard that was set. And I think that it's definitely helped me stay calmed and relaxed and collected in pressure situations while playing up here at Utah State.
Was it, and I'm not aware of your recruiting history, but I know Spencer Nielsen shows up at your front door and says, hey, let's get you to Utah State. But were you anticipating more people knocking down your door, or what was that process like for you?
Yeah, my recruiting process was an interesting one. I think in large part because I had always had hopes of serving an LDS mission. A lot of schools that did come reaching out early, whether it was in my freshman or sophomore year, were a little more hesitant just because they knew the two-year commitment and what that would mean and why, like, they didn't really know what to really do with that scholarship for the 2 years I was gone. And so I think that slowed down my recruitment a little bit more than I was hoping. Utah State was actually the first school to offer me a full ride scholarship, interestingly enough. And I've had a lot of teammates or other people ask me about different schools in Utah and their recruiting process. And I think I got a lot of feedback from my high school coach about how some of the smaller schools felt like I was too far outside of their range and that I wouldn't be willing to go to play there. And then some of the bigger schools felt like I wasn't quite to the caliber that they wanted. And so that was a huge motivating factor to me. And I think that that was actually an element to why I didn't receive more scholarship offers as I did in high school, just because I was kind of right in that middle zone where it was a little awkward for different programs, I believe. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm super grateful for it, because I think it landed me right in the place where I'm supposed to be, and in a great situation with Coach Smith and now Coach Odom, and something that's been super fun. And a huge credit to Spencer Nielsen for his recruitment and showing me what it's like to be an Aggie, since he was such a legend up here.
Stephen Ashworth joining us from the Utah State basketball team. Big game against New Mexico. This team has had a really, really great start. You're two-thirds the way through the season. I know there's a couple of road games you'd like to get back, but you are right in the thick of things. Just what needs to happen for this team to make sure that you make that run down the stretch to put you squarely in the spot of a potential spot in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different moving parts with just our own expectations and the other expectations of the conference members. We are hoping to be a conference that could get 4 to 5 teams into the NCAA tournament. I definitely think we have the caliber of teams to do that. The league is really deep. The league is really talented. And I think from our perspective, we just have to protect the spectrum. We've got a lot of home games coming up with teams that we've gone on the road and fell up short against. And so now it's our turn to get them back at our place. And we know how fun it is to play in front of a full spectrum. And the community's been huge with their support up in Logan and Cache Valley. And the people driving from even outside of Cache Valley, it's been awesome to see just the support that we've gotten this season. And so making sure that we take care of business when we're at home, and then continuing to pick up road wins when we can, is a huge thing in conference. And we talk about it a lot, how road wins in the conference are like gold. You gotta pick up a few, because it's tough to go on the road and win. A lot of good quality teams in the conference that I think I was looking at the home schedules for the top 5 teams, and there's only like 4 losses total throughout the entire season for those teams at home. And it's a testament to how well coached and how well trained a lot of these programs are in the league. So if we can protect our house and go get a few more road wins, I think we're right in the spot that we want to be in to get an at-large bid and hopefully win the conference and win the tournament.
Who's got more shoes in the closet, you or the missus?
That's a good question. I think when it comes to basketball shoes, I take the cake. When we just compare our regular shoes, she might have the upper hand, but when I've got a pretty heavy collection of on-court apparel as well, I think that puts me over the top.
Well, hey, appreciate it. Good luck coming up on Wednesday. Looking forward to chatting with you before that game.
That sounds good. Thanks, guys. You appreciate your time.
You got it. There he is, Stephen Ashworth. Good dude, man. One of the best. Anchoring that Utah State basketball team. Number one in the country in three-point shooting percentage. He's, I believe, last time I checked, number four in the country in three-point shooting percentage as a player. Great shooter, great player, and should be a fun one coming up on Wednesday, coming up tomorrow.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.